This morning I want to preach a final message on the subject of our service of the Lord God Almighty. And what we've done is we've just gone through, namely, the epistles of the Lord and to the churches, starting with the church at Rome, and now this morning ending with the church at Colossae, there in Macedonia. During this, we've seen, and just these are just ways that I try to remember about different passages. We've seen about how to be a servant like Christ Jesus, and how he was and is the example for us in service, serving as a servant or master. And so we saw about that in Ephesians. In Galatians, we saw about a servant of Christ and his gospel, and how we are called to that, to be a servant of Christ and his gospel. And things such as the servant of Christ Jesus is a servant of his brethren. And we saw things along that line. Looking here to see others. We saw in Corinthians about how we are to serve the Lord where we are and not desire something else, but to be content in the place where we are. We also saw about this. It's reiterated like Brother Isaiah, "Here am I, send me," to the service of the Lord. We saw in Romans also about focus, our focus as a servant. And then the whole idea and the whole entire thinking about service is, what are we his servants to do? How are we to serve? It's one thing to know that we're his servant, but how are we to serve? Here in Colossians chapter 3 this morning, it's interesting how the Lord has done this. We see a summary, the summary of our service to our Lord Christ, the summary of our service to our Lord Christ. We saw different facets and aspects as we went through the different epistles to the churches, but then this passage, this chapter, gives us a concise summary, something that would be good for all of us to refer to and read from time to time, that we might be reminded. We might be reminded of the scope and the range of what we are called, how we are called to be servants. And as we've looked in all these messages, we've remembered and I've sought to remind us all that Paul, as he writes all of these epistles that we've reviewed, uses the Lord to write these epistles to the churches, that he refers to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, along with many other brethren that are mentioned too. So this morning, in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1, the summary of our service to our Lord Christ, verses 1 through 4, "Look up to our Lord. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." So we have this about focus. We come back to focus, don't we? And it's very concise, four verses. But he says here, if you're saved, if ye be risen with Christ, that this of baptism typifies that, and how we identify with Christ, a burial because of his death and his resurrection. We partake of the Lord's Supper, and that supper tells and where we remember his death. If ye then be risen with Christ, it's not talking about the baptism so much. That's a public identifier. But are you saved? If ye then be risen with Christ, if Christ having risen from the dead is the answer, the reason that you are saved, that by his gospel you have been saved. If ye then be risen with Christ, number one, seek those things which are here below. Is that what it says? No, it says seek those things which are above. So that tells us about our focus. And what is it above? Is it talking about the atmosphere in which we work and walk? Is it talking about space, the second heaven? Or is it talking about the third heaven? It's talking about where the Lord is, doesn't it? And so that's where it's talking about. We need to seek those things which are above, there in the third heaven. And it tells us and makes that very clear where Christ sitteth. Seek what's being talked about and what's being directed and what's being moved in, what's being desired to be worked. And we understand the Lord doesn't try anything, but the Lord has a will, and you and I know that we can go against it. Now, Brother Mark's been teaching about Moses, Brother Moses, and his working with Pharaoh. Pharaoh was going against it. The Lord was pulling back his spirit, and Pharaoh seeing the wonder of the Lord. I think that's how that hardening goes. And Pharaoh hardened his heart, and the Lord hardened his heart by showing him his power, but being devoid of the working of the Spirit. But it did not go on forever, did it? And that's going to cost Pharaoh his life. Seek those things which are above. The desire, the working, the desire and plan of the Lord, the working of God. He makes it very even more clear where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What business is more important than the business that's going on in heaven? Is there any other business more important than that? Where the Father and the Son are sitting there on the throne and superintending the affairs of the world and the plan of God. And we, his children, we need to seek those things, don't we? That's what we're commanded to do. Set your affection. We understand that word, don't we? Our desire, our pursuit, our longing for. Set your affection, which means that you guys, you and I are going to have to do that. We're going to have to take our affection. We're going to have to curb it and set it on what's right. Set your affection on things above. And if we don't understand that, just to make it clear, not on things on the earth. So focus. We need to have our focus right, don't we? And not just by lip service, but by being a doer of the word, like Brother James tells us. For ye are dead, verse 3. Dead. We are dead to self. Having been buried, that typifying of baptism, being saved by the Lord, we've said no to self. We've said yes to Christ. We said he is the one that we need. His gospel is the one we need, the salvation that we need. We ourselves, we do not know the way. We have no help in ourselves. We receive Christ. We believe and trust in him, and he is the answer to all that we need. We are dead to self. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Think about that. If I take something here and I hide it, I take my pen and I hide it here in my pocket, you can see it. And I'm going to hide it here in my pocket. Being a child of God, being a son of God, my life is hid with Christ. And where is Christ? He's in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and my life is hid there in him. Need to be reminded of that, don't we? We need to know that and be reminded of that. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, in the Father, in God Almighty, the Trinity. Here and you're not saved, your life is not hid in him. It needs to be hid in him. You need him as Savior indeed. We point you to him. Repent and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life, it is by him that we live. Amen. By his salvation, by his gospel, we live. Jesus is my life. Christ is my life. If you're saved, you would say that you say the same thing, don't you? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. It'll be an instant. When he comes, it'll be done. We'll be taken out of here. Or if we go by the way of the sod, when the Lord takes us and the I won't have to wait for burial, but when it comes to the end of our life and the Lord's time for us to go comes to pass, our spirit, our soul will go on to be with Him instantly. There's no purgatory. There's no intermediary place or holding staging ground. We go to be with Him. When He shall appear, He'll appear unto us one way or the other. We need our focus to be renewed. We need to be reminded and have our focus right. Verses 1 through 4, to look up to our Lord. Verses 5 through 9, deaden and subdue the old man. Mortify, therefore. He said, because of these things, mortify. And that word mortify there means to deaden and subdue. Other translations and the definitions of that word means to kill. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. So we're here living upon the earth, right? What are our members? Well, this old flesh, this old mind, fornication, uncleanness. He said, mortify these things. Kill them. Inordinate affection, inordinate desire. Things that are forbidden for the place where you and I are. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortify these things. Subdue them. Deaden them. It said, kill them. We need to put them in their right place, which is away from us. We've been saved from these things. We are reminded in verse number 6, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. God is going to judge in a wrathful judgment these sins and these transgressions. As the children of God, we need to put these things away from us. We need to kill them in our flesh. In the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. So we were saved from them. We used to go that way. We used to pursue those things. But they are to be far from us now. But now, ye also put off all these, and so there's more that are at hand. Anger, wrath, malice, getting back, blasphemy. Blasphemy is talking about taking the word of God and denying it. Accusing the Lord of saying things that He did not say, which we as the children of God, by our action being His children, if we have a bad witness, we don't obey the Lord, we're saying that our Lord has told another thing. We blaspheme the Word of God by not obeying it. Filthy communication out of your mouth, cursing, swearing, nasty and dirty jokes, taking the Lord's name in vain. We need to put these things off from us. He goes on to say, lie not one to another. Don't be lying, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So here in this summary of service, we're to look up to our Lord, to always be looking to Him and His return. We are to deaden and subdue the old man that is this flesh and this mind. And remember that we've been saved from the way of the flesh and the world and of Satan. And to put those things away from us, verses 10 through 15, and then put on the new man. Verse number 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Okay, let's slow down with that. And have put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge. We need to know from the Word of God what our Lord says. What He has commanded us. How we are to walk and how we are to worship. How we are to serve. How we are to witness. The new man. The new man that is Christ and the Spirit of God living within us. Which is renewed in knowledge. If we live in ignorance of the Word of God. And the thing is, this isn't just knowing about Adam and Noah and Abraham and Moses and Joseph and on down through the divided kingdom and just knowing about, and then come down to the New Testament, knowing about Jesus and knowing about the apostles and just knowing them. It's not knowing the historical facts of it, but taking all of that and applying it to our own lives. We need application of the Word of God. The new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The new man and the pursuit of the Word of God and obedience to the Word of God is going to make us look and appear more like Christ, because it is Christ's words that have been given to us in the Word. Amen? It is the Lord. The Lord is our example. The Lord is our model. The Lord is the one that we follow. The Lord is the new man, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Verse number 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, and praise God for that. Praise the Lord that it just wasn't the Jews that could be saved, but the Gentiles could be saved too, and therefore you and I are saved. There's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. The Lord doesn't care about that. Barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, it doesn't matter if you're the worst of tribes and of peoples in the world that would be thought to be the lowest of the low or the meanest of the mean. It doesn't matter if you're of the most advanced in the world. It doesn't matter if you're a slave or if you're a free man. But Christ is all. He is our all and in all. All. He is our all, and He is in us. He is in this great working. The Lord has got a plan. This is His creation. He is taking this a direction that He will take it, that He might be glorified. And as the children of God, we are a part of that blessed part, the blessed part of that plan and working. He saved us and made us His own. We need to put on the new man. Put on, therefore, verse 12, as the elect of God, chosen by Him before the foundation of the world. It's manifested in that we have believed, we have received. You that are here and you're not saved, the command of the Lord is unto you is to receive the word of the Lord. You cannot find out whether you are an elect or not. You can't do it. The command, the word of the Lord coming to you is believe. And that's how the elect are manifested. That's how the Lord's children and people are manifested. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, the children of God, the saved of God, the called of God, holy and beloved we are. He loves us with an everlasting love. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. See, put on the new man. All these things are foreign to the world. All these things are foreign to the natural working of mankind. Out there in the world, it's dog eat dog and get them before they can get you. But the children of God, our Lord Jesus is not that way. These are, it's quite a contrast to these things that are mentioned here in verses 10 through 15 versus those things that are mentioned here in 5 through 9, isn't it? I mean, it's worlds apart. It's the total opposite. Fruits of the Spirit are what's being spelled out for us here in pretty good detail, different aspects of that. Christ is in us, and we are to put these things on, to be working on these things. Bowels of mercies, compassion from within, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We have an order of dealing with grievance amongst ourselves, and that the Lord has given us that we might have a remedy to those things. But I tell you what, the higher calling is just to forgive. Just to forgive. And sometimes it's such that we can't, or maybe in our weakness, or maybe in just being lacking in maturity, or the necessity is there for us to get the grievance settled. We have that provision. But here we're told, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I tell you what, praying one for another is a way to bring the Lord and get the Lord involved in a thing. And that's what we're called to. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us that we be like our Lord Jesus. So also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, agape love, love with legs on it. Not just love in speech, but love with doing. Like our Lord Jesus, He loved and He did for our sakes, which is the bond of perfectness. Years ago, this verse and that latter part of verse number 14 really struck a chord with me. I hadn't been saved long. The bond of perfectness. That word perfectness is talking about being equipped. It speaks about maturity somewhat, but it talks about thorough equipping. Above all these things, put on agape love, charity. Love with legs on it. Love into action. That love is the bond. It's the stick'em. It's the hold it. It's the hold it together. At that time, I was working in research and development at Sun and Products, and one of the types, or all of the types of abrasives that we worked on, had the abrasive itself that was what they sold and what they did with all kinds of hole finishing and such. And every bit of that abrasive, whether it be diamond, whether it be CBN, whether it be aluminum oxide, silicon carbide, for all different kinds of purposes, it had to have a bond. You can't just take the abrasive and use it effectively to get precision finishing and of holes, whether it be in engines or it be in hydraulic valves or a diesel fuel injectors or injectors in jet engines or whatever. Got to have a bond. And so this charity, it's the bond. It's what sticks everything together. It's at the heart of the composite. The bond of being thoroughly equipped. Charity. Love into action. Like our Lord Jesus. Verse number 15, and let the peace of God, you hear that? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Why is it phrased that way? I'll tell you what, personally, because sometimes I won't let it. And when I'm not letting it, I'm seeking my own. I'm seeking my own way to have peace. I'm wrangling with a thing, wrangling with a disappointment, wrangling with a burden, and I'm trying to find and work out my own peace rather than resting in my Lord. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I tell you what, we need peace, brothers and sisters. We need peace. If you're here and you're not saved, you need peace too. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. This is a church affair also. It's an individual affair and a church affair. And be ye thankful. A thankful people. We're coming up and we're at the season of Thanksgiving in our nation. We've got a lot to be thankful for as a nation. We've got a lot to be thankful for as the children of God, citizens of this country. We've got a lot to be thankful for as one of the churches of the Lord. We are to be a thankful people always, not just in November, but always to be a thankful, thankful people. And then we move on And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verses 16 through 17. By the word, live a good witness to all. Again, this is a summary of our service. Look to the Lord. Deaden and subdue the old man. Put on the new man. And now verses 16 and 17, or actually 16 through 22, by the word of God live a good witness to all. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What is that word? Right here it is. We've got it. The full canon of Scripture, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know this word. We need to have this word in us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell in you richly. Think of something that is rich. Think about what is it we say when the ladies make a dessert and say, whoa, that's good, but it sure is rich. It means it's got a lot in it, doesn't it? It's got a lot of the sugar, a lot of the chocolate, a lot of the things in there that we might particularly like if it's rich. Some of you are coffee drinkers, and you take your coffee and you jazz it up with the different flavors that you like, and it can make it very, very rich in that flavor. What's he say here? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. It is our Lord that gives us wisdom. Gives us wisdom through his word and through his spirit that lives within. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Public worship is an edifier and a blessing and admonition one to another. We cannot do without it as the Lord's children called into his church. Oh, yes, people are saved that are not members of the Lord's church, and they are saved. They're just as saved as you and I are. But they are missing in this corporate worship. For some reason, it's not been given to them, but it has been given to us. And brothers and sisters, let us not forsake it. Let us value it. Let us know what it is that the Lord has given unto us. And he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching. We teach one another. We have our teachers in the church. And admonishing. That's an encouragement. And keep on keeping on. Keep on doing what's right. Keep on following the Lord. Keep on resting in the Lord. Keep on looking to the Lord. Admonishing one another in psalms, and the word of God, and the scripture, and hymns. The hymns that we sing about Christ and worshiping our Lord and his goodness towards us and his working in us, and spiritual songs. We sing the choruses. Since I've come here as your pastor, we try to sing those choruses on Sunday morning. Singing the word of God, having the word of God in us, it's an encouragement. It is a help. It is a strengthening. It is a renewing. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Don't worry about whether or not you can sing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord and rejoice in him. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Live. By the word, live a good witness to all, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to our brothers and sisters that we may find in the world, and to the sinner at hand in our lives. Be a good witness. And verses 18 through 21, you know what? It's so in the family, too, in the home. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fit in the Lord. Again, this is a summary of our service. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Hear that? It's well-pleasing for a child to obey their parents. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Don't provoke them. Don't tease them. Don't provoke them and steer them in their lives away from the Lord, lest they be discouraged, but raise them in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. By the word, we need to live a good witness to all, even in the family, even in the home. Again, this is a summary of our service. There's not an aspect that's not being touched of our lives, our witness, our testimony, our feeding, our focus, our old man, our new man. And what's it say in verse number 22? Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, not just while they're watching as men pleasers, just looking to do enough to get by, to keep the boss, in our case, off your back, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, doing what we do for the Lord, all things. Never having an aspect of our lives where we say, well, this is mine, this is the Lord's, and this is mine. But do it all to the Lord. And if we can't do it to the Lord, then we need to get out of there and not do it, not pursue it, not follow after it. So we see here that by the word, we need to live a good witness to all in the family and at work too, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. To do it well, because we're doing it for the Lord. No matter what it is, do it unto the Lord. We're doing it for Him. To do our best as He has given unto us and equipped us. To know that we are His servants and His workmen. Do it heartily and not with a dragging disposition. But do it heartily. Do it thankfully. Do it with vigor and energy. Do it as to the Lord and not unto men. Live before and unto our Lord Jesus. Here's our target verse, verse 24. Knowing of the Lord that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's who we serve, the Lord Christ. And interesting that it's those words there, those names, our Lord, He's the Master, He's the Leader, He's the One that's supreme, He is over us, He is the Creator, He's our Lord, He's our Savior. The Lord, we serve the Lord Christ in everything. As it says in another epistle, whether you eat, whether you drink, do it all to the Lord. That's the basic things of life, isn't it, is eating and drinking. Do it unto the Lord. We need to do all things heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. See, we are the servant of men in that we are used of the Lord to carry the word unto them. We are to be like the Lord unto the world. But we, as we've mentioned many times before, we are not their direct servants, are we? We serve the Lord. And notice this here in the beginning of this verse 24, that there's a reward of inheritance, because not only are we servants, but we are the Lord's children, aren't we? It's not a servant that gets an inheritance necessarily, but indeed a child gets an inheritance, and the Lord has an inheritance for us. There's toil in service. There is hardship, as we've seen in these messages in service. There is difficulty, and difficulty upon this old flesh when we obey our Lord, when we give of this flesh and this life to the service of the Lord. When the Lord Jesus says, if you live your life for yourself, you'll lose it, but if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel's, you'll gain it, you'll save it. And so there is toil, there is burden, there is use and hardship, pain, maybe even in discomfort. But remember, there is an inheritance for the children of God. Knowing that the Lord of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. That is most interesting. Our Lord, He died once and He lives forevermore. Inheritance is for, you know how it is here on the earth. Inheritance is for the ones that remain after somebody has died. But the Lord gives an inheritance, and He lives forever. We have an inheritance, a reward from Him in faithfulness to Him. For ye serve the Lord Christ. We are His servants forevermore. May we May we put ourselves to the plow that he's given unto us. Verse number 25. But don't forget, there is a judgment, and our Lord forgets nothing. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And this is talking to children in it. This is the epistle to the church at Colossae. And churches are made up of saved. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. No excuses. No, well, I thought this would have been better, Lord. Or, Lord, you just don't understand my circumstance or my situation. Well, that just didn't make sense with the way that our culture and our world works. There's no respect of persons. What the Lord has commanded, he's commanded, and may we follow that. In conclusion and application, we have seen today our Lord, and this passage has provided a summary of our service unto him, unto our Lord Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lest we forget, let us refer to it often, this passage. It's a good summary. It tells about all the facets of life that we are involved with. May we keep our eye on him and the promises he has made us. And let us always remember, we are not the servants of men. We serve men unto the gospel of serving Christ first. We do. But the way of man, the lust of man in the world system, we are not the servants of that. We are the servants of Christ Jesus and his glorious gospel. Tell you what, when we get to the other side, we are going to see more than we ever have the eternalness and the seriousness and the greatness of just that. But may it not be on the other side that we see it alone. May we see it here. May our Lord help us. If you are here and not saved, you may believe that you're not the servant of anyone or anything, but you are. You are the servant of self and sin. We tell you again, look to the Lamb of God and his gospel for the salvation of your soul, for the rescue you need from the bondage of sin and self, to be made Christ by Christ, his servant, his child, to be made free. As we've read many times in John chapter 1, verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. See, you and I are not called to save ourselves. We're called to repent and believe and trust in the Lord for his salvation, his promise. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And as Jesus said in John 8:36, and he is the Savior of sinners, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.